most times.
Whenever you're ready, Annabelle. Hook the brother up.
Excellent.
So we're going to go to Acts chapter 10. One of those stories we know. I think most of us know most of the stories. But Acts chapter 10, 1 to 2, it says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, which was not a musical band. A devout man and one that feared God. I should move that. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. I just want to preach tonight, simple subject, nothing too crazy, just hungry for the Holy Ghost. Let's pray one more time together tonight. Jesus, hallelujah, God, we thank you for your spirit that's here, God, your presence, your anointing, your power. God, I pray that you would continue to minister through your word tonight. God, that you would draw us closer to you, that you would stir something up in us. I pray in Jesus' name, let your will be done, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, very tempting to make the same joke I made this morning. But you being seated. No, I won't. Oh, it's very hard. We talk a lot about the Holy Ghost and Pentecostal faith. Talk about receiving the Spirit. Preach about letting the Spirit work in our lives. We've talked in the past about stirring up the gift, you know, that God's put in us, and all these things. And this, I'm going to hit you with a mind-blowing revelation right at the beginning. But the more we seek it, a move of God, the more it's going to happen. And the hungrier we are for the Holy Ghost to work in our lives, the more He is going to work. And so this message tonight is for those of us, there are some of us who have not received the Holy Ghost yet, and it's also for those of us who have. And in case you weren't counting, that's all of us. The story is about a man named Cornelius, which is another of those great names. The Bible's got a lot of great names in there. Cornelius, that's, you don't hear it anymore. It's too bad. It's a good one. Well, this Cornelius, he was not a Jewish man. He was a Roman centurion, meaning he was a commander in the Roman army. And we get more details on him because, if you remember, we preached a long time ago about Bartimaeus, and we found that his name is in the Bible because Bartimaeus, after he's healed, becomes a disciple and follows after Jesus. There's a lot of people in the Bible, we don't get their names because they just come and they get something and they leave. That's people of the people. And but Cornelius, we get a lot of information about him because he's a pretty big deal. He's going to be a big part of the church going forward. He becomes a Christian. Spoiler alert. And becomes part of the church. So we know a bit about him. But Luke tells us his name, his occupation, and even the name of his century, the Italian Band. That is a great name. If I was to start a band with Italians, that's what I would call it. Great names all around the story. The centurion was a commander of the Roman army. I learned recently that it wasn't necessarily 100 men, usually 60 to 80, but the name century comes from 100, and it was a high-ranking position both in the army and in the community. Centurions, they needed to be literate. They needed to know how to read written orders, because that would be catastrophic if they couldn't. They had to have connections in order to get these positions. They had to be at least 30 years old and have already served a few years in the military. And the way their army was set up, they would put the young guys in the front, so the ones that survived would get eventually moved back. And so by the time, if you reach 30 and you're in the army, you know some things. And so that's the guys they would put in charge. And they'd also have to be able, as a leader, to be able to boost their soldiers' morale, because sometimes people get tired of doing the same thing. I don't know if you've ever known. Centurions often had important social status in their community and held powerful positions in society. And so a legion, this is just the boring stuff right at the beginning, but a legion would be a group of 60 centurions and the men under them. If you remember the word legion from the story of the demon-possessed man, that's what he's referring to. And so this Cornelius feller, he's got power. He's got authority. He's got a position. And he's got what a lot of people want. And what a lot of people in that time would have loved to have. But yet, for Cornelius, that is not enough. He's hungry for something else. He's hungry for more. It says, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This guy wasn't like the other centurions. The Roman centurions were known for being brutal. The Roman Empire wasn't necessarily kind to those it went to war with. They're the ones that were hanging people on crosses. It wasn't, you know, they weren't the kindest of folks. They were doing all kinds of things. But there was something different about Cornelius. He was devout. This is a word that Luke, the author of the book of Acts, uses to describe a Gentile who worships God, because most of them didn't, especially the Romans. The Roman religion was very intertwined with everything they did. They had two people in authority. They had the one in charge of the religion. They had the one in charge of government. They were both equal in the eyes of the people. It was a very big deal. And so to find a Roman centurion who would willingly follow another god, that was a rare thing. But somehow Cornelius had found out about the God of the Jewish people, and he had started to worship him. No one was there to help Cornelius. No one was there to lead him. He didn't have a church to go to. He didn't go to the synagogue. He didn't have a rabbi to sit under to listen to. He didn't have a priest to go before with his sacrifices. I don't know if we ever really thought about that before. Somehow, this guy, Cornelius, he's developed a hunger inside of him for the things of God with no help from anyone else. Maybe Cornelius had a servant or something who was a Christian or maybe Jewish, who we don't really know, but somehow he's come in contact with God or his word, and he decided to dedicate himself to this God. We don't necessarily get his backstory, we just kind of pick it up here. But somebody along the lines must have told him or showed him something different. Maybe it went along with what we talked about this morning. Maybe he asked the question why to someone. I don't know. But we can't underestimate the impact of our lives on those around us. A word, a comment, an interaction we have with someone else. Because there are hungry people like Cornelius all around looking for something more. And Cornelius was one of them. The Bible says that he feared God, and not only Cornelius, but his entire house did as well. This guy was serious about God. As the leader of his home, whatever he would say would go. This guy was one who knew how to lead. That was his job. This guy knew authority, and so his whole house is following after this God and fearing him. He was generous. Cornelius gave money to the poor and to other people. Sometimes centurions, they would have a place of authority in the community, kind of like a protector of the area. And he gives money away. He's generous. He doesn't extort it from people like some would. He is helpful. He is as devout and faithful as a man can be. And he prays always. And so this man, Cornelius, he is doing everything that he knows to do. And he's living the best life that he can for God, because there's a hunger there in Cornelius. And that is where it always starts. That is, as they say, that's ground zero. And that's where everything begins. If we want to see the Holy Ghost work, if we want to see God move in our midst, in our families, in our homes, in our church, if we want to see all these things that we say we want to see. It all starts with a hunger, and it all starts with a devotion. It all starts with giving, with prayer, and with faithfulness. And my friend Cornelius here, he didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet, but he was so hungry for the things of God that God showed up in his life anyway. And sometimes we can get to thinking that we're something special and we're called and we're anointed and we've been here for a while, but God shows up to the ones who are hungry. We saw this past year, I mentioned the last few weeks, the revival that happened down in Kentucky in a university of people who were just hungry for more of God. And God showed up and people were being filled with the Holy Ghost and they didn't even know what it was. And God was moving and working. God shows up when people are hungry, and God shows up when people are faithful, when we pray and when we seek his face. That's where it always starts. If you want to see God work, if you want to see him move, it starts with someone being hungry. Someone who says, I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to go to the church whenever the doors are open, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to be devout, and I'm going to live right, and if something's against God, then I'm just going to get rid of it in my life, because nothing matters more than the things of God. Nothing matters more than seeing his Spirit work. If I have to stop watching something, then I'm going to stop doing it. If I have to quit doing something, then I'm going to quit doing it. I'm going to give it up, because nothing matters more than the move of the Holy Ghost, and that's where it's going to start. We need to be hungry for it. I don't know if you've ever been hungry in your life, but there's an ache that happens when you're hungry. I'm sure some of you have. Some of you are hungry right now, maybe. There's an ache that comes. There's an ache that starts in your stomach. There's an ache that goes. There needs to be something stirring inside of us, an ache or a desire for more. This is what Cornelius has. He has all the things that anyone could want, but he wants something more from God. And because of his faithfulness and because of his hunger, God shows up to this Gentile. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. That's his name. That's a good thing. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So he said, I want you to go see Simon, who's with Simon by the seaside. And he'll tell you what to do. The angel comes and gives him a tongue twister. He shows up and he tells Cornelius, he says, your prayers and your giving have come up for a memorial to God. Even though he wasn't Jewish, even though he didn't bring sacrifices to the temple, even though he wasn't part of the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant with God, his giving and his prayers were accepted by God. God hears those who are hungry. And God sees Cornelius, and he hears his prayers, and he sees his giving, and he knows his faithfulness, and he sees a man who's doing the best he can with the knowledge he has, doing everything he knows to do. And maybe that's what you're doing. Maybe you're doing all you can, all you know to do. But it feels like something is missing. It feels like there's more. And you're hungry for it. And there's an ache in your heart saying that there's got to be more than this. I've told you the story about my grandmother. Wondering, praying, and said, God, there's got to be more than this. Then a little while later, someone came knocking on the door. Saw the light on. They were wrapping up their door knocking thing. Remember people used to do that? Before other people hijacked it and now no one will answer the door anymore. They used to do that, and they're walking by the house, and they're done, and they're let's go home, it's getting late, and they saw the light on, they said, well, there's a house over there, let's just one more, and we'll go home. And they knocked on my grandparents' door, and here we are today. God answers those who are hungry. And that's where Cornelius was. And God didn't just say, you know what, you're doing good, man. You keep it up. That's all you need to do. Well, God loved Cornelius so much that he doesn't just leave him where he was. Cornelius was too hungry for that. So God shows up to Cornelius and he starts to lead him further. And if you are hungry, God will make sure that you are fed. So God says to Cornelius, I have more for you. And he says to him, you need to go get Peter. And so what does Cornelius do? What does any hungry person do when you give them something to eat? They eat it. They don't ask questions. And if they do, they're not hungry enough. As when you're really hungry, anything anyone offers you is good enough. And so God gives him something and he just does it right away. You know, I don't know about this. Who are you? This has never happened before. I've never seen this sort of thing happen. He just does it. What about the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15? She asked for a miracle and Jesus said it wasn't right to feed the dogs before the children were fed. And what did she say? She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, even the dogs get the crumbs. I'm so hungry for a move of God. I'll just take a crumb and that's all I need. And how did Jesus respond to her hunger? He said, oh woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus answered her prayer. Her daughter was delivered because the mother was desperate for a touch of God. And even a crumb, she said, was enough. I'll take anything that you can give me. What about the woman with the issue of blood? All she said was, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I don't need his attention. I don't need him to lay hands on me. I don't need to say anything. I don't need to cause a scene. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, there's a hunger there. Or Hannah interceding for a son. She prayed so hard. Her heart was so broken. She couldn't even get words out. And the priest thought she was drunk and mocked her, and God responded to that hunger and he gave her a son. Until we develop a hunger for the Holy Ghost, we're going to stay in the same place. There needs to be a hunger that God responds to those who are hungry, those who are desperately want to see something happen. Back to Cornelius, what does he do? It says in verse 7, and when the angel was spoken to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them, that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He responds right away. Someone who is hungry is going to respond right away. When you're praying for God to move, when he does, you're going to respond. The hungry one will right away. When you're praying for direction and he gives it, the hungry one's going to follow it. When you're hungry, you're going to eat, like we said, what food is presented. And so he responds right away and he sends for Peter. And while his men are on the way to Joppa where Peter is, God starts working on Peter. And Peter, this guy, for whatever reason, is harder to crack than the Gentile who knows nothing. Peter's Jewish, you see, and to them, the Gentiles or the non-Jews, of which Cornelius is unclean. And so God gives Peter a vision of unclean animals coming down in a sheet, and he tells him to eat, but old Jewish Peter, he won't. And God tells him that whatever he says is clean is clean. And so he does this 3 times, and the vision is over. And Peter's like, huh, I wonder what that meant. You know, Cornelius is like, I'll go right away. And Peter's like, I don't know. Oh, maybe that meant something. Maybe it didn't. Maybe I'm just hungry. I don't know. So Peter's kind of going over his mind what that means. And Cornelius's men show up looking for Peter. And then the Holy Ghost speaks to Peter in verse 19. And then Peter thought on the vision. The Spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. 3 times, 3 men. And arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And this is why we say over and over, it's important to walk in the Spirit. It's important for us to be in connection with the Holy Ghost, right? Because Peter, he's very much prejudiced against the Gentiles. He doubles back on this later, and we talked about it in Galatians. And Peter, you know, he never would have went with these guys on his own if God didn't speak to him first. But if we're sensitive to His Spirit, if we're sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost, He will direct us when we need to go, and He will direct us where we need to go, and not where we want to go. A lot of times we will only go where we want, or only do what we want. But if we're going to be hungry for the Holy Ghost to move, if we're going to follow the Spirit, there's going to be things that God's asking us to do that maybe we don't want to do, but we need to do. I told you before, I haven't mentioned Benin in a couple weeks, so you guys thought I forgot. I told you before how we were having a meeting, so we wanted to go and be involved in missions and stuff, and we went into this meeting. We had this feeling that Brother Carter was going to tell us to go to Africa, and I did not want to go to Africa. I am the color I am. I burn easy. I get headaches from the heat and the sun. My wife's even lighter. They glow in the dark. And I had no desire to go to Africa because, I don't know, I just had no desire to go to Africa. And I was like, they're going to tell us to go there. And we agreed, we're not going. Before we went into that meeting, we said, we're not going. They mention it, we're out of there. And lo and behold, said they needed someone to go to Benin. I'd never even heard of Benin. That's not even a real place. I've heard of some places in Africa, but Benin, that's not real. I had to write it down because I was like, I don't even think this is a place. I'll have to look it up when I get home because I don't know about this. Anyways, we ended up going. Once upon a time, I told myself, probably my wife, that I'd never live in Nova Scotia. Hated it. I don't know why. Just did. Rivals, you see, New Brunswick. Everyone always went on about Middle Lake Camp, and I was like, oh, get over it, grow up. And then we end up being here. Our first summer here, we're leading the camp. The kids camp. So I stopped doing that. Saying I won't go places. Because God will often lead us places where we say we don't want to go. And I'm okay here now, just in case you're wondering. And you guys know I love Africa. Now. God knows better than we do.
Yes, amen.
But we allow the Spirit to lead us, we will end up going where He wants. Sometimes we don't want to. Or Peter never would have went to Cornelius. But Cornelius needed Peter. He needed him to come and preach to him. He needed Peter to pray for them. He needed Peter to show him what God had to offer. And saints of God and apostolic people of God, church, you know, they need you. The hungry people in this area, in this world, they need you. They're counting on us to show them. There are hungry people waiting to hear what God has for them. They're searching, they're looking, they're longing, they're doing the best that they can with what they know. They're praying, they're fasting, they're giving. They're doing all these things like Cornelius. And they're hungry for the Holy Ghost, and God is trying to use us to reach them. And God is calling us to go to them where they're at. But if we can't get past maybe our prejudices or ourselves and what we want to do, well, I'm not that person. I don't witness to people. I don't teach Bible studies. I don't do this. I don't do that. And then we're limiting God and what He's trying to do. And they may never hear. If we can't get past that. They are hungry for the Holy Ghost, and we need to be hungry for the Holy Ghost to work through us. Romans 10 11 to 15 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the truth. But how shall they then call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Yes, it's true that if people call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved, but they can't call on him if they don't believe, and they can't believe if they haven't heard, and they can't hear unless someone tells them. How shall they preach except they be sent? We need to send each other. The church, we're sending you out. We need to do it. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God has called us and he wants to use us. And so Peter, being led by the Holy Ghost, goes with these men. And they leave in the morning and the next day, you know, back in the day, everyone came first thing in the morning. So they leave in the morning and they go to where Cornelius lives. Says it, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and near friends. So he gathers his friends and his family in anticipation for this moment. There are entire groups of people all waiting to hear the gospel. There are entire groups of people waiting to be filled with the Holy Ghost, waiting to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm sure I've told you this story. I've mentioned this many times, I think. But back to Benin, we went to a little church in what they call pineapple country. And there's fields of pineapples. I always thought they grew on trees, but I was dumb. And they don't. They grow out of the ground. And we went to this little church in the middle of nowhere. And I preached about repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost. It was a little town called Sekou. And the missionary we were working with, they got a call from this church. It's connected to one of the pastors in the big city of Cotonou where we were. And they wanted to join up with the UPC and they wanted to be baptized. So the EPU, as it is in French, they wanted to be baptized and all that. I think the pastor of that church was a brother of the other guy. And so the whole church, they want to be baptized. The whole church wants to be part of this. And so we follow the Holy Ghost. We walk through the door that God opened. And when we got there, when it was time to baptize, there were 21 people waiting to be baptized in the name of Jesus. There were about over 50 or so, but we talked them out of it. Which isn't really a testimony. Some of them, they weren't quite ready yet, and so that's a good thing to not get baptized until you're sure. So we went down to a little sketchy river, and that's the river. I've told you about this river. I don't know if I showed you. That's it. That's the river. It looks cleaner than it was up close, especially after you dunk people and get everything swirling around in there. This is Francois. You can see there's a little bank there. And I went down in the water there. And we baptized 21 of them. And we were bringing them up out of the water and going up on the road. And then the other missionaries in some other church boat, they were praying with them. And at least three of them were filled with the Holy Ghost on the side of the road in the middle of the jungle. Like, I don't know, we left the paved roads hours before we got there. In the middle of nowhere, filled with the Holy Ghost on the side of the road, speaking other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And there's a group of them that we baptized. They don't smile in the pictures. They actually were happy. We could have easily said, you know what, that sounds crazy. Going out in the middle of the jungle there. You know, I wasn't even supposed to be there. I wanted to go somewhere else, if you remember. I said I wasn't going to Africa. I wanted to, you know, I'd never even heard of Benin 6 months before, but here we are in the middle of this water getting itchy, worried about getting sick. I was like, well, God, if we're going to die, this is a good way to go. And here we are baptizing 21 people, people being filled with the Holy Ghost on the side of the road. And I've told you before about another guy who went to worked in construction and a guy saw him go to his truck every day and pray, and he's like, what are you doing? What's that all about? And asked him why. And why are you doing this? And he's all, you know, explained it to him, and they had a bit of a Bible study. And this guy was from Ireland, the one who was asking why. And he's like, you need to come over with me and I'll show you around. He's like, oh, fine. Oh, that sounds good. Ireland. Yeah, I've never been. So he goes and they get there and he's like, oh, I want to meet all these people. And they had a little bit of a Bible study or whatever. And then there's just a group of them. And they're like, okay, here's a pool. We're gonna baptize them all. And the guy was like, who's going to baptize them? And he's like, you are. And so he baptized a whole bunch of them. And now he's a missionary there. And God just opened the door. And you know, that's when we follow the Holy Ghost, this happens. And just a couple months ago, Port Hastings, this one was, Nova Scotia, a door opens up. Brother Grotto and Brother Ellison are having an opportunity to teach a Bible study in someone's home, and a lady is full of the Holy Ghost there. Never been to the church before? Oh, the Holy Ghost, someone's living room. God, when we are hungry to be used of God, we're hungry to see God work, He's going to do it. Because there are those that are hungry. It could be a little church in the middle of the jungle. It could be a bunch of people in Ireland waiting around a swimming pool. Or it could be some lady in her living room down in the middle of nowhere in Nova Scotia. Who knows? It could be your neighbor. It could be someone. God, if we are hungry, He's going to use us. We need to allow Him to lead us. These are real modern day stories. And when we let the Holy Ghost lead us, when we're overcome with a hunger to see God work, and we are willing, like Peter, to set aside preconceived ideas and even prejudices, and we are willing to be led, God is going to do some incredible things. We can say, well, this isn't how it normally goes. I've never baptized anyone. I've never been baptized anyone before. That was the first time. I got my working that day. I've never been in that kind of water before. You know, this other guy in Ireland, he never baptized anyone before. He was just a construction worker. This is what happens. And there's sometimes God's going to use us to do things that maybe aren't what we think the way they should happen. And if we're going to resist it, then we're going to miss what He's doing. God's going to do incredible things if we are hungry and allow Him to work. And so Peter asks Cornelius, this is going much longer than I expected, but Peter is asking Cornelius, what's going on? He tells Peter how he was praying and fasting and how an angel showed up to him and told him to send for Peter. And he says, immediately, therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here, present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So he's like, we're here to hear whatever it is that you're going to say. Whatever God tells you to say, I want you to say it. We're all gathered and we're ready to listen. Whatever God tells you to do, we're going to do. That's faith. That's a willingness to just obey. That's hunger and that's desire. Whatever you're going to tell us, that's what we're going to do. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You can see his prejudice here. Oh, I see that God talks to these people as well. God's no respecter of persons. He's, a bunch of Gentiles here, and all I can see, God's working. So Peter realized, because he was sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because he allowed the Spirit to speak to him, God is no respecter of person. It doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your family is like, or what race, religion you've come from, language you speak, or whatever. It doesn't matter where you live, how much money you make, how old or young you are. It doesn't matter if no one else accepts you. It doesn't matter how damaged and messed up we are, or what we've done. If we're hungry for the Holy Ghost, God can fill us, or God can fill them. If you're hungry for a move of God, He's going to move. If you're hungry for the Holy Ghost, He will fill you. If you're hungry for the Holy Ghost to work through you, He will do it. And so Peter starts preaching to this group that's gathered. He tells them about Jesus, and he tells them about Calvary, and he gets to the part about forgiveness of sins, and something incredible happens. In verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They were so hungry that God filled them as Peter was still preaching. That would be amazing. They couldn't even wait until the man was done preaching. God started filling them with the Holy Ghost. They didn't wait for an altar call. They didn't wait for the song they wanted to hear. They didn't wait until there was a big camp meeting or convention, or they all gathered in the Colosseum or whatever. They received the Holy Ghost right then and there in Cornelius's house. And at verse 45, it says, "They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." The rest of the church that came with Peter, they were amazed. Some had come and their minds were blown by this. They were speaking in tongues the same as them when they received it. They received the same Holy Ghost that they did. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. No other Gentiles had been filled with the Holy Ghost before. No other Gentiles had spoken in tongues before. No other Gentiles had been baptized in Jesus' name before. But Cornelius was hungry. He was so hungry that God would not ignore it. What I'd like to leave with you tonight is the key to seeing God move like never before is a hunger. Or an ever-burning desire. It has to be louder than anything else. When you are truly hungry, nothing else matters. I'm talking about physical for a second. When you're truly hungry, nothing else matters. There's a thing we got. Some of us get hangry. Because we're so hungry that everything just annoys us. Everything else just gets on our nerves because we're so hungry. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care about anything else because I am hungry right now. And if I don't get something, someone's going to get hurt. The hunger is louder than anything else. When you're truly hungry for a move of God, there's nothing else that matters. You don't care what people are talking about. Gossip has no appeal to you. Things of the world don't matter. Entertainment, no appeal. And until we get to this place, until a desire to see God move in ways that we have never seen before burns in our hearts and consumes us, we will stay just as we are. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost you're hungry for, He can fill you where you are. Right now, He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Anywhere. You can fill you in a room, in a car, a church, wherever. I'm hungry for the Holy Ghost. And I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to see Him fill other people with His Spirit. I want to be used by God. And I want to see our church filled and spread out across this valley. I want to be, we can't fit everyone. We got to start a new one down the road. And get along with them. I want to see God pour out His Spirit. I want to hear stories of people being led to pray for someone and them being filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to have the phone ring and someone says, "Hey, guess what happened today? I was over talking to so-and-so and we started talking about things of God and they wanted to pray and they started speaking in tongues for the first time." I want to hear stories like that. I want to get called and say, "Hey, we got to go over here and we got a bunch of people that want to be baptized." I want to get those types of phone calls. I want more calls of people being asked to be baptized, more messages on my phone asking to be baptized and asking for Bible studies. I want to hear stories of people being led to pray and people being healed and all kinds of things happening. But if we're not hungry for it, we're going to miss it. Sometimes we fill ourselves up with other things that we're not hungry. Well, your mom wouldn't let you eat all the junk. You wouldn't let your kids do it because you're not going to eat your dinner. You're not going to be hungry for the things that are important. You're not going to be hungry for the things that you need. Because you're filling up on something else. I need to be hungry for the Holy Ghost to work and to move in our lives. And so tonight, in
to open the altar. You're going to come and pray. Prayer is one of the most important things we can do. That's where hunger is going to start. That's where hunger is going to grow. It's in prayer. It was in prayer that God spoke to Cornelius. It was Cornelius praying day after day after day after day that built up that memorial. I saw God respond. It was in prayer that God spoke to Peter. It's in prayer that this is going to happen. So we're going to open the altar. I'm not going to tell you what to pray, how to pray. You guys know what to do. Let's just pray. I want to see God work through us. If we need to get rid of some things, let's get rid of some things. If we need to get rid of some junk food, let's get rid of some junk food. Be hungry for the right things. That's when God's going to work. That's when God's going to move. That's when God's going to use us like he wants to. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name.